Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Mullen, and welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. This series of podcasts is dedicated to helping parents and other people who are connected with children help children behave and be their best. Oh, that was weird. Okay, well, we'll keep going. I'm in a unique position. To talk about this because I have been a child counselor for the past 20 years, and I'm also a mom. And I learned many of the lessons about through my child clients and my own children about how to do parenting a little bit different. I coupled this knowledge with my all that I've learned from mental health counseling and parent coaching and part of my clinical practice. I recognize in working with children and hundreds of them that there are just some simple principles for parenting. These 20 principles for blissful parenting are simple and life-altering. They will change your relationships with children, how children behave, and how you feel about yourself around children and improving your parenting esteem. In this show, I will talk about not one of the blissful parenting principles, but one I could certainly add on and one we get questions about in our clinical practice all the time, and that is the idea of picking your battles. I will have guests that will further our conversation about parenting and children. You'll want to stay tuned for my upcoming book on blissful parenting with a foreword by Jack Canfield, the co-founder of Chicken Soup for the Soul series and the Success Principles. And you're going to want to check out my website at www.integrativecounseling.us and follow me on Twitter at Dr. Jody Mullen. For today's show, I'm going to be joined by my friend, sidekick, mental health counselor, play therapist, mom, and grandma, June Rickley. And we're going to be addressing those battles and how to pick them with how to decide which ones to pick with your children, which are the most important to pick, and not just how to pick them, but how to win them, because quite frankly, picking the battle is only part of it. So that's where we're starting today, and welcome, June.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome. So I wanted to start off by saying a little bit about picking your battles. This is probably the most common thing that we tell the parents of our clients. It's the most common thing I tell my sister. It's the most common thing I tell my friends when they ask me a question about their child. And, you know, what do I do when they do this kind of thing? And my most common answer is you have to decide if that's a battle that you want to pick. And that's where we're going to start today in suggesting to you that you really do have to decide, is this important enough to fight with over my child, you know, with my child? How does that help our relationship? How may it hinder our relationship? Is it a punishment to me if I pick this battle as a parent? And so a couple of ones really rise to the common questions we get asked about this. And so I want to share those, and then we'll share a couple of stories and give examples and help you start thinking about making those decisions about picking your battles. And then the second part of the show, we'll talk about, you know, how you win those battles. And I use the term win loosely here because the win is in that your child, and it doesn't compromise your relationship with your child. I also want to say two other things is that this is definitely something a lesson that I learned from working with children. I actually had it even reinforced in a session with a 12-year-old a couple of weeks ago that I'm working with clinically. But this is appropriate for teachers. This is appropriate for coaches and dance teachers and grandparents. And so this is one of those principles of parenting that really is just so multifaceted in the number of people who can use it who have relationships with children. It's not just for parents. So I want to say that. The other thing I want to say is that as June and I are likely to give clinical examples aside from our personal ones about picking your battles with children is that we always have changed the names and any other identifying characteristics so that we are keeping our ethical and professional promises to our clients and actually to our profession overall. So that being said, when I was thinking about where we would go with this podcast, one of the things that came to mind is how to decide if it's worth it. And some of the things that I hear parents really picking battles with their children around, one is being right. You know, how important is it to be right? And whether that's being right about the spelling of a word or being right about you'll get in trouble if you do that or being right about if you leave that plate with food in it in your room, you're going to get bugs. No matter what it is, you have to decide how important is it for you to be right. The other one that is very interesting that I've heard from some of the parents that I talk to is about how children dress. And I'm not talking about dressing provocatively or dressing inappropriately for climate, but just dressing like not matching or not dressing the way that the parent wants them to dress. And we're not talking for special occasions or anything like that, but just their day-to-day outfits. That seems to be a big one as well. And then the third one that really came to mind as I was thinking about this was grades. And by grades, I mean academic performance. And there seems to be a lot of battles around that that typically aren't good for either the child or the caregiver and ultimately really get in the way of the relationship. I think of all the battles that I hear about picking with your children, the one about grades seems to be the one that's most detrimental to the overall relationship. So I'll spend some specific time talking about that. Okay, so how do you decide if it's worth it? Well, I think the first rule to go by is this a safety issue? If it's a safety issue, meaning the safety of your child or the safety of somebody else or the integrity of the property in terms of safety that way, I think that's always a battle worth fighting. That's a no-brainer. You have to fight that battle. So that is very, very important. So that's one that you can, just check off your list right away. Is it okay to let my son play, in the backyard when there's my husband's tools are out in the yard? No. Even though he wants to play right now before the tools get cleaned up, that's a no. So I'm going to fight that battle because it's unsafe for him. So that would be an example. Okay. So, June, I've been talking incessantly here for a few minutes. Is there something, are there some initial thoughts that you have about picking your battles?
Well, I think at the time of life that I'm in, I have the luxury of being able to look back and see how many of the battles weren't worth the battle. My kids are grown. My son did find a nice girl and settle down and get married, even though it was my fear, like, oh my gosh, who's going to put up with this child the way I do? Who's
right.
going to be able, is someone going to marry him when they find out that, I used to find 17 wet towels on the floor of his room when we finally ran out of towels in the linen closet, or 37 socks when I eventually ventured into his room to gather up the wash. And like all of those things were super annoying, but they don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And I'm not minimizing anyone's bad, anyone's issue at this time, but just to kind of shed a little light on a lot of it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and that's where some of these I get really interested in how you decide to pick the battle, because the being right one is something that I don't know, maybe it's just really prevalent in my family, but in our family unit, there's four of us. All of us very much enjoy being right. And all of us are...
it's nice.
Yeah. And we're all stubborn, too. And what happens is that, somebody will say something like, who sings the song? I mean, it could be as simple as that. you know, I'll say, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Pink sings that song. And my daughter will be like, no, that's not Pink. It's, you know, I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. It's Christina Aguilera. And nope, it's Pink. Now, at what point do we let that go? Do I say, well, I'm going to get on and Google it and find out, you know, find out the answer? Well, I might. But now what has that done to our relationship? It becomes more important to my daughter that I proved I'm right, or in her case, maybe even more important that she proved me wrong, or vice versa, that than us talking about the music or enjoying the song that we were listening to. And that's just, you know, a really simple example. But I want parents out there and other people who are in relationships with children to think about how important is it to be right about these things that in the grand scheme of things, and I think you said it really well, June, just don't matter. I mean, really, how much does that matter whether Pink sings a song or Christina Aguilera sings a song, you know?
Exactly.
So even with, yeah, and even with memories, I think that that's a place that that comes up. You know, like, remember last year when we went to Florida and somebody, you know, somebody in our family will say, nope, that wasn't last year, that was a year and a half ago. Okay, you know, like, fine, it was a year and a half ago. So part of being able to decide if a battle is worth it, especially one about being right, is deciding, you know, how this will impact the relationship overall. And the other part of it is, you know, is like, how right do you have to be? You know, like, can
right.
you let it go? So I think that a big part of picking your battle is really recognizing what are you willing to let go. And what I'd like parents and other people who are listening and have relationships with children to ask themselves is before they go ahead and pick that battle about being right, to ask themselves and really take a moment to think about it. That pause can just be such an effective moment for me, you know, in making this decision. So in that pause, ask yourself, is this worth it or can I let it go? And letting it go sometimes feels way better than being right. And I'm saying this from such an authentic place because, like I said, I'm not going to I'm not going to be disingenuous about this. I'm a person who loves to be right. It's one of my, you are right, almost means as much to me as I love you. So those words are just great. So, but there are times where letting it go is going to feel better to you, and in the moment, and how it plays out in the future will really be way. More of what you want for a close and respectful relationship with your child.
Right. And I think a lot of times if too many things are harped on, like if there are too many things that too many battles that you create, it winds up being that even though your intention might be to be teaching your children things for the future and all of that, what winds up happening is you actually lose your influence with them if they're hearing too many things that they can't do and, you know, too many things that they're doing wrong, because then they kind of learn to tune it out and you don't have much influence in that way.
And that's one, this is where the grade one comes up. And I know, you know, because we've talked about this off the air quite a bit, is that we have many, many clients over the years, child and adolescent clients. So we're not just talking about young children here. And actually, sometimes we're even talking about college-aged kids that we're working with. And the issue is that their grades are poor. They're not doing as well academically as their parents think they should be doing. And so they get referred to counseling. And sometimes that's a marker of a child needing some assistance in mental health. They had really good grades and now their grades have slipped, or they're very frustrated about their own school performance, or they're very anxious in school. You know, those kind of things. Those are very appropriate, you know, for our work as mental health counselors and play therapists. But many of the kids that we work with, that's not exactly the issue. The issue is that they have never really been all that great of a student, and they're still not that great of a student. And their parents sometimes, you know, think that they can do better, and sometimes that is true, that they could perform better academically. And what happens is that their parents pick this battle. But this isn't a battle that you pick once, and this is a battle that is they pick day after day after day. And what winds up happening is that we see this clinically, is that this isn't even about the academics anymore. The kids, they're just so stressed out from, like you said, June, just it's ongoing, that ongoing battle that they have. I'm going to give you an example because we have this unique thing in the school district that we live in, but I'm guessing that other districts have something similar. I have, once your child reaches middle school age, you have the opportunity to check, via a portal if your child's handed in their assignments, how many assignments they're missing, what their current grade is. So as each assignment is graded, the instructor puts their grade into the portal, and you can see how they're doing. So really, you could check this every single day. Well, some parents of the kids that we see do. And what happens is now they fight every single day. They pick this battle every single day, and I'm not exaggerating about that. Because what I've learned from the kids that I work with is that they dread coming home to school because they know during the day their parent or guardian has checked their grades. So they dread coming home from school. Then they have to do their homework, and they're stressed because they've already had that battle, and now they're having the battle about the homework. And you have four missing assignments, and how could you have four missing assignments? And then, the next morning starts off with the same battle again. Like, and it just is every day of the school year. And, both of us have made recommendations to parents about really getting, not picking that battle. And the battle you pick is that you want your kids to feel proud of how their own school performance, and know that they see their best. But that harping and harping and harping on their grades, picking that battle over and over again, makes school not such, like, makes it so school is unpleasant to them. The whole thing is unpleasant, and now your relationship with them is disconnected and can even be, have a really nasty part to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a lot of times it's exactly, and I've seen the same thing. I don't think that that's a really good thing to have. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think it's a good thing that parents are able to check kids' grades every day just for that reason. But I think in a lot of instances with picking battles, I think with parents there's a fear of, well, if I don't pick this battle, I'm giving in. But what it really is when, if you can – talk to your kids about the different things that are important, and kind of work through these issues, then the kids themselves can learn. The kids can learn to do that for themselves.
That's exactly it. And I think this is how you win the battle: is that you are thoughtful about what battles you pick, and then you create. There's a lesson in there. There's a life lesson, not just like this is how I want things to be lesson. I don't want my son to leave towels in his room, that kind of thing. He should have a neat room. But it's not just that. It's that there are really life lessons learned in that. And also I just want to speak, and I could have my parents verify this. I was an incredibly messy teenager. At one point, my parents found like my winter jacket and plates of food and a whole bunch of other clothes in my bed because I was hiding from inspection. And now I'm very neat and tidy. So you do sometimes outgrow those things as well. But, you shared a story with me off air about a battle you picked and the importance of it and the lesson that, came with it with one of your kids. Do you mind sharing that one?
Oh, not at all. One of my kids was a bit more challenging than the other two, but has is a wonderful person and has turned out wonderfully. But anyway, right after he got his driver's license, he almost immediately after he came home and he had gotten a speeding ticket, and of course I was like, oh my gosh. That was a no negotiation zone for my husband and I, and we immediately took the car away and said, "That's it. You don't get use of the car for." And it was like a very, very long period of time. And at the time, he had said, well, you know, he had a part-time job, and he had said, well, how am I going to get to my job? How am I going to do this? And I said, well, I don't know. You're a really resourceful kid. I'm sure you'll figure out a way. And as it turns out, he first tried a bicycle, but at the, you know, teenager, 16 or 17, that's not all that cool, and he wasn't very athletic. And so he wound up having to call a cab to get himself to work, which was really funny because he wound up using half of his paycheck for transportation to get there. But it was difficult for him, and he had to figure it out. And it so that was a lesson and a battle that I wasn't willing to, it was a safety issue. So we were not willing to negotiate that.
I'm really glad that you shared that, because I think that really, that is a clever one, getting a speeding ticket. And then the other part is you have to follow through with that. You know, you have to, once you pick that battle, you have to follow through with that battle. And that is one of the ways that you win the battle, is by following through. Because next time, it's not, the battle doesn't even have to happen because your kid knows you're going to follow through, you know. So I think that's super important. Another, you know, a way that you win the battle, so to speak, with your kids is by creating some illusion of power. And I'm going to go back to that grade example and tell you how I negotiated that with my daughter, because I can check her grades on that daily basis portal thing. And what I did was, now I know she's a good student, but, you know, this was a transition into middle school. I wasn't exactly sure how she would handle it, and I think she has a lot more homework than she had ever before. And so what I said to her is that I would not be checking that at all until the end of the first quarter, and then we would evaluate, see how she performed academically. And then, if need be, in the second quarter, I would check it from time to time. Well, I came home from work the other day, and she was really just beside herself. She was really upset, more angry than sad. And I asked her, you know, like, what's going on? And she was upset because she had a grade in a class under a 96. Now, we've never told her that there's some sort of grade level that we, you know, that we want to achieve. And she is very blessed. I mean, she is a very good student, but she's also, you know, a hardworking student. So she gets very good grades, you know, typically. But we weren't so sure about this. So she has set this marker for her. It wasn't a marker we set for her. So what the lesson then becomes is that she wants to do well in school because it makes her feel good. She feels proud of her grade. Where in the instances with my clients that I work with, my children clients that I work with, it's that they want to please somebody else. That becomes mm-hmm. their motivation, and it's related to this battle. So another thing to think about, you know, as you're deciding whether to fight this battle is what is it that's going to come out of this? If it's possible, and I know sometimes it's really difficult to take the perspective of your kid, but this is a time where you want to also think about what would my kid's perspective be on this? And how, you know, like I was saying, we created the illusion of power in this situation with my daughter is, she has the power to decide if I'm going to check her grades every day, because as long as she keeps them up, and all we said was keep them up. We didn't say, you know, keep them up to over a 90 or keep them up over, you know, an 80. We didn't give her any parameter for that. She set her own parameter. We left it kind of vague, and so that we could see what was important to her, what level was important to her. And so there's an illusion of power there, so that she can, which turns into actual power, that she can have some privacy about that, and she can handle, she also learns that she can handle that herself. She doesn't need us to be, did you do your homework, you know, what grades are you studying for your test, what grades are you getting, you know. So there's so many good things that come out of picking the right battle. That would not have been the right battle for me to pick.
Right. And I think like grades have gotten to be, I mean, grades are important. There's no doubt about that. But it winds up in many of the cases I've seen as being, you know, a parent's fear that if their child doesn't achieve a certain level, that it somehow, you know, that they take it as a reflection on them, and it, you know, there in many cases it winds up being that I've seen parents who are still overly concerned about grades when there are other, like, really, really big issues that, you know, as far as, like, emotional issues that need to be addressed that are actually more important than grades.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with academic performance, sometimes poor academic performance, if it's a change, if it's new, is related to, it is a marker for, you know, what a kid is going through emotionally. I mean,
right.
We've seen that happen with kids who are being bullied, with, you know, kids who are now immersed in an eating disorder, you know, who are depressed,
mm-hmm.
who are anxious. You know, so it is important to pay attention to that. And, you know, the other thing, and I think kids hear this, you know, I remember my daughter hearing it in second grade in a very direct way, you know, from the culture of the school. The message was, like, well, you're in second grade now. You're an older kid, you know. And so, you know, so they can hear that pretty early on, you know, on in their academic career. But, you know, as they get older, that comes, like, this. How well you do in ninth grade, how well you do as a freshman matters what college you're going to get into. And they hear that, you know, so frequently that picking that battle just adds to the anxiety, you know, of that. And I think if we want our kids to be, you know, give them every opportunity to be as emotionally healthy as possible and to have a really good relationship with us where they're not afraid to tell us if they didn't perform well in school, or they're not afraid to tell us that they got a speeding ticket, you know, then these are battles that we have to pick and we have to decide. You know, the other night my son, he's 8, he was setting the table and he dropped a dish and it broke. And he got upset and I said to him, I said, oh my gosh, that must have scared you when the dish broke. And he said, I was scared that you guys were going to be mad. He wasn't scared that, you know, the dish broke and made a loud noise and, you know, shattered everywhere. And that's that moment of, like, I could have been mad about a dish breaking. I could have picked that battle. But what would that have done? It's just a dish, you know, and nobody got hurt and it was easy to clean up. You know, so you have these moments. You actually have these moments happen all day, every day, in every interaction you have with your child. Pick a battle, let it go. Making that decision.
And I really am thinking back, and I have told stories about my own kids, and I'm fully willing to admit that you know, I made a lot of parenting mistakes, and I think I wish that there had been times where I could have just before speaking, and I think you. You made reference to this before, Jody, about kind of taking a step back for a minute. And I really wish there were times that I had said, that I had taken a step back and said, wait a minute, okay, will this really matter in,
right.
you know, 1 year, 5 years, 1 month? Like, is this really worth it? Is this worth, you know, kind of possibly, like, affecting my relationship with this child? Is this issue worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
and
what
I
think, matters to me.
Right. And I think the whole thing that we're trying to get at with the idea of blissful parenting is that part of this is, and getting your kids to be freakishly well-behaved, part of it is not on the parenting technique. It's most of it is actually on the parent-child relationship, or the teacher-child relationship, or the coach-child relationship. But these are based on, like, what you create there, so that when I said to my, you know, son after he broke the plate, like, that isn't a big deal to me. You know, that is nothing that I would ever get upset about, you know, and was clear with him about that. He trusted that I meant that, and then we could move on from there. Where if in the past I had picked battles about broken glasses or spilled milk or anything like that, then he wouldn't have trusted me about that, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
it's not just about what happens in the moment, it's also about, you know, what you're doing in your overall relationship. We only have
right.
about 30 seconds left today, so I think you know what I really want people to remember, and you know, June and I would love you to focus on in order to help you enhance those relationships with your children, is to take a step back, let go, make a decision about if the battle is worth it, and then give your child opportunity to succeed, and so that there don't have to be so many of those battles. Sound good, June?
Sounds good. Well said.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.